Ρισκάροντας μια πρόβλεψη, ο Χάκετ δεν πρόκειται να τη δώσει πουθενά. Η στιγμή που όλοι όσοι βλέπουμε μπάσκετ αγαπάμε. Χάκετ με την προσποίηση για το μάτς. 84-81 με υπογραφή Ντάνιελ Χάκετ.
Well, volcanoes don't erupt frequently. Thank God for mankind, that is, but they do explode from time to time. One of them has a name that non-Icelandic folks can't even try to pronounce, but I'll try. It's called Eyjafjallajökull. I'm sure I butchered it, but it's one of the best words ever. I'll try to train with it. Basketball-wise, there was an eruption a couple of days ago, also of Icelandic origin. Elvar Fredriksson posted just a third triple-double in Basketball Champions League history in the thrilling Park victory in Istanbul against Galatasaray. 19 points, 11 boards, 10 assists, notching the last assist, luckily for him, just 10 seconds from the end on an Andrew Harrison 3. And I'm very happy he's here. Hey, welcome to the pod.
Thank you very much.
So how's the game? How's the feelings after the game? And did it feel right away that it was one of those nights for you?
I was really happy about the win, but in the beginning of the game, I gotta admit I didn't feel really well. I was a little dizzy before the game, so I wasn't very comfortable. And then at halftime, I had to throw up a little bit because of fatigue, because I was very tired. So I had to, on a 3 minute mark in halftime, I had to sit down and just. Trying to settle down a little bit because I wasn't feeling quite well, but I was managed to forget everything when I was on the court, and I was happy that we put together a great team effort to start off the Champions League season with a great win.
I mean, that starts, you know, the label thing, the throw up triple double from Elvar Fredriksson. I mean, That must be huge for your team, you know, starting the season with such a W, especially on the road against a very good team with EuroLeague players, foreign players such as Corey Walden. Must have been huge for psychology, too, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, playing against these guys, it's big for us. And of course, when you play against a team like this, you want to prove that you can play on this level, so that of course gives you a little extra boost coming into the game. You know, you're a little extra motivated, so and then that gave us enough to be able to beat them.
So how's your how are you setting in Thessaloniki? I mean, college in Miami, I've read that you said it's the best city in the world, the best thing that can happen to you in the world, but Mediterranean climate is not so different from Miami, from what I've heard. So it must be nice after Sweden, after 2 or 3 years in 2 years in Lithuania, no?
Yeah, I mean, me and my wife, we really enjoyed Miami. We started off in New York, and that was a little rough coming from a small city in Iceland, going to New York. We were living downtown Brooklyn, so that was very cold. Even colder than Iceland and what we were used to. So we were not feeling ourselves there, so we wanted to move to Miami, give college one more try, and the lifestyle there, and just to be able to come from Iceland and living in this type of climate was a dream for us. And being back in that kind of situation here is amazing, because we prefer definitely that type of weather rather than being in the cold. So it's, I would say we're enjoying life a little more now than we have the past few years.
And Thessaloniki is like a big small town, as I like to call it. It's big enough. It's about 1.5 million or something like that. But it's also a town that you can feel its borders, you know, not being in such a huge town as New York, trying to be, you know, a little dot in the map.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we stay in Perea, which is like a little town outside of Thessaloniki. And that's perfect for us. It's quiet and a very slow-paced neighborhood with the beach next to us. So we're able to step out with our son and and go for walks and do stuff in our free time, and then we can go into the city on off days and enjoy a little of the city life. But to us, the city is pretty big, so it's nice to have kind of both worlds here.
Yeah, imagine that. I mean, what brought you to PAOK, Elvar? You had a really solid season last year in Ritas. I talked to George Zedas all about it. Everybody was extremely happy with you. You got engaged with the fans also. They loved you. You had a good year both in LKL and the Champions League. What were you looking for coming to Greece, coming to PAOK?
I'm at Ritas. It was very nice and high-class organization. It was, everything was great there. My role on the team was a little different than I think it is this year. And the reason why I wanted to come to PAOK, I wanted to try to take like a step ahead and be one of the main players on the team to prove kind of to myself that I can play on this level and be able to lead a team on this level, because I felt last year that I could do it, but we just had a great team, and we had a lot of guys that were able to do it as well. So it was kind of smaller role. So that's why I decided. I think it's good for me to come to this situation and be one of the main guys and help the team win games on this level. And also the Greek competition is super competitive, so that would be a great challenge as well.
Is it safe to say it's the most physical basketball you ever played? I mean, it's a small sample, like 3 or 4 games, but does it stand out, the physicality?
100%. I mean, I've never played in that type of physicality before, and I could feel it in the preseason. It took a little time to adjust, to figure out what I can do against the physicality, and I feel like I'm getting there. I'm getting better at it. Still not great. So I hope as the season goes on, I can figure my way out through the physicality and also learn to play in like this type of physicality myself. So I think it only grows me as a player and helps me as the season and my career goes on.
Okay, flashback to the past. Everybody I talk to keeps bringing up the underdog mentality about you, the fighting spirit. I read that your scholarship in Long Island University was the last available, which, is a thing. You transferred to Bari next year. You climbed your way up ever since. Is that the main thing that describes you?
Yeah, I would definitely say I always look at myself as an underdog, no matter where I am, because I come from basically a non-basketball country. I'm not too tall, and I'm not really built for basketball. So also just this kind of mentality was built, and I learned it from the national team. We're always playing against bigger nations. We go into every game as underdogs. So I'm more comfortable in that kind of mindset. That keeps me motivated, keeps me ready for games, to be able to battle against whoever I face. But and when I signed at Long Island, that was actually Martin Hermansson who received the last scholarship. I signed a little earlier.
Uh-huh.
So, but still, I mean, coming from Iceland, going to college during that time, there was basically no exposure. And why would they look into players in Iceland when they have all these great players in America and basketball countries in Europe? So it's definitely great to be able to get out there and get some exposure and work my way up from there.
And it didn't start as a straight line. Coming back from college, went to France, didn't work out, back to Iceland, and you stormed Boras, but it was a COVID season. So there's, a big question mark around COVID season, even though you performed really well. And I heard this story in when you signed for Saulies, I think it's pronounced. And after you signed Saulies, somebody contacted your agent, Christos Lazar, and he said, okay, I need a player, but not from a B or C basketball country. So I want to talk about this stereotype. because it always haunts you. It's always something that you have to prove, not only that you're a good player, but okay, we signed an Icelandic player. How good can he be? And he's like 185. He's going to be eaten.
Yeah, and that was actually the first question I got in an interview when I came to Greece, asking me how do I feel about being the only non-American point guard in the league. And to me, I'm used to it. I mean, I get the talk between, I mean, I get it that they don't look at Iceland as a basketball country, but that doesn't describe a personality. I think they should more look into personalities, but I doubt that will change it. If you get two players that are equally good on a paper and you'll see one is from Iceland and one is from America, most teams would probably go for the American ones because they're more used to seeing Americans being successful. So I kind of get it, but that also put fuel on my fire to try to prove people wrong. And like I said, keeps me motivated to always be successful and face these kind of
adversities. I mean, so I heard that you do that all the time. It got me back to the Last Dance Netflix series. I took that personally, Michael Jordan kind of thing. I heard that it's a trick you do with your agent, always finding, you know, or maybe sometimes manufacturing new challenges in order to push you forward. Does it work?
Yeah, and he does a great job, I think, and he helps me a lot just off the court too with mentality as well, because I usually just try to be like a people pleaser, but sometimes you can't be like that, and especially on the court. So to keep me in that underdog mindset that I constantly have to prove people wrong. So he does great things, and so far he's put me in good situations to be able to build my career, because going into my professional career, I was hoping that I would be able to play in Sweden. You know, I wasn't even sure about that. So taking one step at a time, I'm just thankful that I received the opportunity and be able to perform at this level where I am today.
Best guard in Sweden, MVP in the league in Lithuania, really great numbers in 20 minutes in BCL last year in Vilnius. But each year a new challenge, each year a new team. That comes with a certain type of insecurity, and that comes with you know, having to adjust year after year in a new environment, new coach, and that can't be easy, you know, for anyone.
Not at all, especially when you have a little kid and a wife. It's hard to always
move them around,
stuff,
yeah.
And move them around. Here we go. We're going to a new country. It's a new culture. We don't know anyone. I'm kind of used to meeting new teammates. You know, each year it's different roster. So, I mean, I have always some sort of connection and you can relate, and I'm around guys. But like I said, with the family, I think for me, that's the toughest part, to move them around so much. So hopefully it would be easier life if we could find a base to live at the same spot for at least 2 years. So that's what I'm hoping for in the future, to just to be able to give them a little better life with me here, because now they're just going back and forth from Iceland to wherever I am. So I would say that's the biggest challenge.
But that's the biggest treasure too, Alvar, because, you know, living a nomadic life, which is most of the times the life of a professional athlete, it becomes so much more precious having, you know, those two guys, little Eric and your wife, to always come back to. And it becomes a certain, you know, core that you need to stay stable.
Yeah, and I just get a great support from my wife too. Sometimes it's tough. I mean, it's easy to say, okay, I'll just go back to Iceland. I'll play in the league there. She can have a job and work. But she pushes me to keep going too. So that helps me a lot to be successful. And And after they arrived here, they were not with me in the preseason. After they arrived, I start playing much better, and I think that has something to do with just feeling better off the court too. So it definitely holds hands and helps me a lot, and it's a great opportunity for us to live around the world and see the different countries in Europe while we're doing it, because after the career you never know if you're just gonna settle in Iceland and live there for the rest of your life in a terrible weather.
Be careful, because that's what happened to Thomas Walker of Olympiacos, and he became a member of the national team, and he says he's gonna live here for the rest of his life. Be careful, that's a virus. That's a Greek virus. It may happen to you too. It's the weather thing. I don't know what it is, but okay. Enough with the happy times. Let's talk the bad about last year. So you had a great game in Žalgirio Arena. You clinched the win for Ritas with a three-pointer, and a few days or like a week later, you play against Georgia, and maybe it will be the missed three-pointer that will haunt you for the rest of your career, no matter how good it goes. It was a three-pointer to go to the World Cup, which would be a massive success for a nation that's like not even 400,000 people of population. It was a good shot. It was a good fight. It just didn't go in. Everyone I talked to, including Lithuanian reporters, said we didn't see something on him when he came back. He just had two great games after coming back to the league. I know it couldn't have been easy for 2-3 days. How did you handle that?
Yeah, it was actually very tough, because we did such a great thing to give ourselves an opportunity to be in this position to be able to reach the World Cup, and being 1 point away from it was devastating. And me, of all players, would receive the wide open three-pointer to get us into the World Cup. It was almost like a script in a movie, you know?
Of course. After those two missed free throws from Toko Şengelya, yeah.
Yeah. And after the shot, I immediately just felt blank, you know? But it was only for 1 or 2 days, you know? I received a lot of support from my teammates there. Like, they said if they could choose anyone on the team to take that shot, and it would be me, and one of the guys said it was meant to be, because God could only put it on you, because you were the only one who could handle it. And like, those kind of support helped me a lot, because just going through this process was a little difficult, and coming back to Lithuania after that, you know how teammates are. Some of them were laughing about it, gave me a little
hard
joke
time
about it. So, yeah, it was gave me a little hard time about it, but I just had to stay focused, because I had another project ahead of me. And it was actually, Žalgiris game was the second game after the shot. And when I saw it was a close game, and I knew if it was a chance to take a game-winning shot, I would definitely do it again. And I'm not afraid of the moment. So you miss some, you make some. So the ones that I make, I will try to remember more. So, but of course, it will stay with me. It was a big chance to go to a once in a lifetime opportunity to go to a World Cup for us, I would say. So it was tough, but we move on. It's just a game, and I don't take it super seriously. That's just basketball. And that's the beauty of sports too. You win some and you lose some.
And you don't know if it's a once in a lifetime. You have a second chance. You have a third chance. So don't be so hard on yourself. Maybe you find another shot. But how do you feel about, you know, both you and Martin carrying the torch from Jon Stefansson?
It's nice to be able to get that responsibility. I mean, Martin's been out of the national team now for 2 or 3 years, so I've been playing a little different role than I'm used to, like not being the point guard on the team, playing the two position all the time, taking almost 20 shots a game and playing that type of role. So it's a completely different game for me, when I go with the national team, and I enjoy it as well. But being able to lead your country is just an honor, and we take that with a lot of pride.
How's the cooperation with your new coach, Fotis Tsaganos? How's the atmosphere in Park right now? I heard that you were vice captain in Ritas last year, which, you know, raised my eyebrows, because someone comes from Shaule, which wasn't, you know, where you were the MVP, but it wasn't, you know, a big team in Lithuania. He suddenly becomes the vice captain, which translated to someone that has good communication skills, can have the empathy, or, you know, I've heard that you were really good friends with Foster also. You know, he knows someone that knows the American mentality and can really reach out against the Americans. So you're a cosmopolitan guy, after all.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in, I think, 7 or 8 countries throughout my career. I was in America for 4 years, so I can relate to a lot to the Americans, and I connect really well with most of the guys I play. So, and I used to play in Lithuania before that, so Lithuanian culture and kind of sense of humor is kind of similar to Icelandic. So I think they put me in the middle of the season as a co-captain to kind of be the bridge between the gap between the Lithuanian and American, because I think there's a big cultural difference there. So they tried to make me just kind of glue it together. So I think I did okay with that. And I'm used to all types of characters, all types of cultures. So I would say I'm like a social chameleon. I can adjust to anyone.
Right.
So that was kind of easy transition for me, and I like to be in that type of situation. So I really enjoyed it, and that was very good for me, and I grew a lot as a person too.
I gotta tell you, okay, Lithuanians are one thing. I know some guys, the Basket News guys, are my friends. They're great guys, but Greek culture and indeed idiosyncrasy and all this thing is quite different. You know, strolling around Thessaloniki in PAOK, have you had, you know, problems adjusting to that? Because we're warm, we take things to heart too much. Success, failure, it's like the end of the world or the greatest triumph of anyone in the world. We live in the extremes. How is it for you?
It's kind of the same for me, because I just focus on controlling the things that I can control, and that's myself, and I try to stay consistent, so I'm the only one who can control my own emotions and how people approach me and how I approach people. So I just try to be the same always. I just be myself, and then usually has gotten me good connection with people. So the Greeks have good connections with on the team as well, and just meeting people around the city and within the organization, I really like those people so far. So, and I have a Greek agent as well, and so I've dealt with Greeks before, and I think it's great people as well. Even though the emotions, the highs are very high and the lows are very low, I would say, but I can only control myself, so I just try to stay in between and, you know, in the middle, and it does not affect me a lot.
So I've heard you had your time in Crete also. Your wife's sister player, I don't know how to say that. I get confused with a relative thing. But your wife's sister, husband, okay, I messed it up.
There you go,
plays football in Crete for Ofi? Thorarinsson, is that right?
Yeah, Thorarinsson, he plays in Ofi, and that also played a part why we wanted to come to Greece, to be closer to our family, because we are really close with them, and they're actually going next week to stay with them for a week while we go on the road. So it's good to have them here in Greece as well. And they kind of told us more about the Greek culture, how things are here with everything, and they seemed to like it the first year they were here. So we want to do the same. And it also always helped to have family members close to you to make things easier.
I mean, your dad, Eric, is like 3.5 right now?
He's turning 4 next week.
Oh, happy birthday to Eric. My daughter just turned like 10 days ago. She just turned 3. And I always, you know, from my experience, you cannot have enough patience with kids. They always teach you a new height, a new level of patience, emotionally, logically. So does that help you as a point guard? I always thought of that, you know, that it has to translate to something. It translates to my work. You know, having those kind of patients, I can feel my new boundaries in other areas. And work is bigger.
100%. 100%. I think kids are always trying to test this, and they're always trying to test to see where the limit is and try to test you as a person. It's like they're masters at negotiating, I feel like. And you're always dealing with different situations. So it helps me a lot. And what helps me the most is just to take my mind off basketball when I come home from practice or from games, and I just go into a completely different role, and I don't have to think about basketball 24/7, you know.
Gives you a certain perspective, no?
Yeah, for sure. And you don't take it for granted and what you're doing, so it gives me more time to enjoy the game while I'm playing it, and also enjoy my free time with my family. So for me, it helped me a lot and changed me a lot as a person to become a father. And I was pretty young when I became a father.
So let's talk season goals. What's the realistic target? What do you wish for both Pauk and yourself?
Now we haven't really went into our goals, but I would say we're just taking it a day by day. We had a lot of practices. We do a lot of work, a lot of preparation before games. So I think the main focus is trying to grow as a team, trying to find what works for us, what kind of defense, what kind of offense, what kind of lineups, all these types of things, because it's a fairly new team. And the system that coach run is probably somewhat a little different than a lot of players are used to. And so I would say we're trying to improve. And in the end, we aim at being in the top six. Isn't that how it goes in the end of the league? The third round is top six and bottom six. And of course, we want to aim to be in the top six to clinch a playoff spot. And anything can happen in the playoffs. It's just first one to win 2 games. So I'm a person that doesn't look too far ahead. So I just take it day by day and try to enjoy the process and you know, enjoy all the adversity that comes with it, you know, because that's, I would say that's the biggest task, to fight through all the adversity to reach the next level. So,
So I
would say the goal is just to improve every day.
That's everybody's goal, theoretically. But let me take it a step further. You came to Pauk to find the extra minutes that you couldn't find in Vilnius and the responsibilities that come with it. And it makes a whole lot of sense. Is EuroLeague at the end of the line for you? I mean, I know you take it a step at a time, but you're 28 right now. Is it a realistic thing for you? Ready to do it?
Being 28 and never played in EuroLeague, I would doubt that would be a possibility. You know, of course, anything can happen, but I don't look at that as the end goal. I just try to reach the highest level as I can, and I live with that. I know wherever I am, I give everything I got. EuroLeague or not EuroLeague, it doesn't really matter for me, you know. It wasn't even in the beginning of this journey, like Greece wasn't even a possibility for me. So I just try to take it year by year and see where that gets me, wherever that will be.
So how about Martin? I've seen that photo. I know your brothers from the age that you were next to each other in strollers in Iceland. I had a talk with him. It was like 2020 COVID year. He was just about, you know, exploring his options after Berlin and before he went to Valencia. How is it, you know, this relationship, this friendship, how does it affect you as a person and a basketball player? Martin is not struggling with his health last year or so, but I'm sure he will come back strong.
Oh, he got that type of mindset. He's a mentality monster. Like whatever phase, like whatever adversity he gets in, he's always positive, and with that mindset that has gotten him really far. And we both have been really supportive to each other. I mean, we talk every day. It's like we're kind of like brothers. And people think, I've heard a lot sometimes in Iceland that they think they look at us as we're competing against each other, but we're just here for each other. We're trying to support each other. And
you just have to change haircuts, Albert. You look too much alike. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm waiting for him to get bald. So I thought that would happen, but yeah, I will have to go to get a different haircut so people can tell us apart. But we support each other and talk to each other every day. So we're just both glad that we're able, two guys from Iceland, best friends, and we're able to do the same thing for a job. I mean, it can't be coincidence. It got to be something in our childhood that pushed us. We were really competitive with each other. In our childhood, we used to play one-on-one a lot. We were on rivalry teams in the youth clubs, and we were always competing for the title. So when you have that competition between each other, and we were able to push each other so much that it got us further than it separated us from the rest in Iceland, I would say.
And it gives you the certain mentality that, okay, now you're playing PAOK and maybe Olympiakos comes and then Panathinaikos comes and Galatasaray comes and whoever comes, okay, they're the favorite. I'm used to that. It doesn't faze me. From a certain point onwards, it cannot faze me. I've faced that all my life. Bring them on.
Yeah, I mean, whatever game I play, it's just I try to just focus on myself and my team, and it's so hard to be always worried about what the others are doing. You just try to do the best you can, and you gotta live with that outcome. It's if you play in a fear, it's never gonna be good. So whoever you play, I play with confidence and always have that belief that somehow I can win in the end. So, of course, when you go into a game, I believe it's better to have that type of mentality, and that just stuck with me throughout the years. Because being from Iceland, you're never playing a game where you're supposed to win. So, I barely know that feeling where you go into a game and you're just supposed to win. So I only know the other mentality.
I remember that interview with Martin. I asked around and I said, who is his idol? And they looked at me like that and said, Martin has no idol. And I'm asking the same question to you, and I'm expecting for a different answer. Who did you have as a a role model? Let's not talk idols. Playing as you were growing, or who is it right now?
My role model is my father. I mean, we talk every day, and he was a player and he was a coach, and he's been guiding me and helping me throughout the career. So I would definitely say he's my role model. But he quit playing when I was very young, and he was coaching a team where there was American on the team. His name is Brenton Birmingham. He was kind of like I idolized him when I was younger. I thought he was an amazing player, and he was a different position than me, but that was kind of my idol growing up in the Icelandic league. I had no clue about European basketball at all when I was younger, so that was the main thing I watched. So he was my idol in my childhood, but now I would say I just my role model is just my father, and I talk to him a lot, like I said, and he helps me a lot through a lot of adversity. So I can look to him if I need anything. So that helps me a lot.
So going to the end, you're hosting Peristeri tomorrow. So again, thanks for the time, and I'm sure preparation is in order. A big game with teams with adjacent goals or maybe quality, and a legendary coach for Peristeri, Vasilis Manolis, is over there. How about it? You know, it's one thing to win against Galatasaray, but you have to keep that going in order to really find a streak, in order to really put your feet down and say, okay, we got this. Let's really work on this. It works.
Yeah, I mean, I would say you need to have a very short-term memory in basketball. What happened in last game is over. We got to have both feet on the ground. Preparation started yesterday for a new game, and that's like every other game for us, with the same mentality. We played two games in the preseason against them, and they beat us pretty badly both games. So now they come to our home court, and we want to continue our improvements. And I think we're mainly focused on that, to trying to improve ourselves, and we can put ourselves in a better position if we win that game. So I'm sure with a lot of support from the fans, it will be a great game, and I believe we can go into that game to win.
Do you feed off the energy? I mean, I know it's a stupid question, but everybody feeds off the energy with doubt. But, you know, this kind of atmosphere in Greece, when the gym is packed or half packed, or, you know, it's a different kind of vibe. Have you felt it yet? Even, you know, yeah, playing on the road?
Definitely, but I would say I play my best when I just get lost in the game. I'm not too worried about what's on the outside of the lines. So it helps me. It gives me a lot of energy when you get support, and also when the other team is getting have good fans too. Like when the atmosphere is good in the arena, it also gives you a little extra boost. But
you are the locked in kind of guy that doesn't give a damn, you know.
Yeah, I kind of. I'm used to all kinds of atmosphere, going from 50 people in the league in Iceland to 10,000 in Lithuania to just everything in between. So I'm kind of used to everything during the COVID season. No fans, you know. Yeah. So you just have to prepare yourself, and whenever I can get lost in the game, nothing on the outside can affect me. So I feel like if I can get in that mindset, I play my best. So that's what I try to do.
Elmer, thanks so much. The only last thing I need for you is to rate me on the pronunciation of the volcano. How did I do?
Say it one more time. I want to hear it one more time.
I can't say it. Whoa. Okay, let's try.
I will give you a solid 6.
Wow, that's great. Now your turn.
Yeah, you. Eyjafjallajökull.
Yeah, that T on the end. I mean, I've heard 3 separate YouTube videos, and I can relate to the T. I can read, you know, it's a double L that translates to a T. I'll try.
Yeah.
Promise me, we'll talk again late in the season, and you rate me again. I'll get a solid 8. I promise you.
I'm looking forward to hear that.
Thanks, Elmer. It's been a
pleasure.
Thanks
for the talk.
Bye-bye.
All right, no problem. See you.